B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Okay, a quick reset on the Hall of Fame balloting announced yesterday. Around this time, Maz, what's your lead takeaway on that?
So I told you I had a bunch of them because they were all relatively small things. But the idea that the guy who didn't vote for Derek Jeter is not a story, I couldn't disagree more. The guy who didn't vote for Derek Jeter is a story. There was one guy. It's not like Derek Jeter getting into the Hall of Fame was a surprise, and it wasn't a surprise that he was over 90%. The question was if anyone at all would leave him off the ballot, and one guy did. And I think the fact that the ballots aren't completely made public is a joke, particularly from a media group. A media group. The media wants transparency, and in this case, they don't. I don't get it. Larry Walker getting in is a joke. I know you have more thoughts on that. And as it pertains to Curt Schilling, who's up to 70%, he's going to get in probably next year. I bet my life on it because the ballot is weak. And he is he's at the top of the ballot now. So typically, you almost never see a year when no one gets elected. Schilling's probably going to get elected. I do not vote for him. But given the public train wreck that his life has been over that period of time, it would not bother me. I mean, I don't mind being wrong and being in the minority. Schilling getting in, the guy could use something good in his life because it's been a disaster.
Maz is showing some sympathy for the big fella. It's interesting. Interesting take. To me, and I would just like to say, I do not come to just totally bash the BBWAA. In fact, I did an impassioned defense of the BBWAA. I don't want to do it again, but you can hear it on the podcast. 98.5thesportshub.com or on the app. First segment, 2 o'clock hour. But I do find it outrageous. My outrage is no longer the steroid guys, because, I mean, I think we all understand what was going on. They were all doing it, and if there's old fart fossil baseball writers who don't want to acknowledge it, that's their problem, not mine. And so I've sort of moved past that. The one now that I find the biggest outrage is guys like Larry Walker and how you've just diminished the accomplishment of the Hall of Fame and lowered the standards and lowered the bar. And the whole pattern of voting, Larry Walker in 2000, Jimmy, what year was it? 2014?
2014, that's correct.
In 2014, garnered 10.2% of the vote. 58 votes. The raw vote total was 58. And so he goes from 10% of the vote in 2014 to 76% of the vote in 2020. How does that happen? He had 58 voters check his name, 58 in 2014. And yesterday he had 304. How do you go from 58 votes to 304? That is ridiculous. And that to me makes no sense. And Maz gave a stunning stat to me earlier, but it makes total sense that there's been more people inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in the 2010s than in any other decade in history.
Correct.
And why is that? Why have they lowered the standards so badly? And it's two reasons. And I love that we've hit on this. One is it's the millennial culture. All you millennials, everyone gets a ribbon. Everyone gets a trophy. Everyone participates. Let them all in. It's very much a millennial sort of mindset. Standards gone way down. Just give it to everybody. It's a very millennial way to feel. And two stats. Stat-driven stuff. Where you look at Larry Walker's stats or his OPS plus or the WRER, whatever, all these stupid stats. You never saw the guy play. And don't really watch. You just look at the numbers. And so between those two things, you talk yourself into guys who weren't Hall of Famers. And that blows, man. That is, how do you go from 10% to 76% in 6 years?
You got me.
Did he play? Did he return and hit 100 more home runs in that time?
Nope. Yeah, he got better.
And this is where I think a guy's personality plays into it, too. You know, a guy can be a nice guy and was good during his playing career or even post-playing career, and that benefits him. Because even if you're just looking at, like, the basic numbers and not the nerd numbers, If you're going to put Larry Walker in, put Albert Bell in. But you don't put Albert Bell in. You won't vote for a guy like Albert Bell because Albert Bell was an a-hole. So that plays in, too. The whole thing, it's just so annoying. It really is.
I mean, really, look, I look at the whole thing, and I say the problem in the game is the same across the board. On the field, off the field, Hall of Fame, too soft, too loose. The standards are too low. Really, it's a joke. I mean, and again, Larry Walker was a good player. I don't mean to dump on his career. I'm really talking about the standards of the voters. They've just lowered them. And they're going purely by the numbers, and they're going purely by WAR and all the stuff that is out there. And I look at that and say, I'm sorry, I watched it. I watched him play.
Do you have a good WAR?
Probably. I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know. I know the OPS was high.
Yeah.
Of course, he played in Colorado, which apparently now doesn't matter anymore either. So let's just go purely by the numbers and not factor in the other variables. Let's make it nothing more than a math equation. So really, if they want to do it this way, just devise a mathematical formula. You punch in the guy's career numbers, and the computer tells you yes or no. What the hell do you need me for?
So, again, I find like that a separate debate, that his WAR or his OPS is this versus that player's WAR. Like, that's a whole separate debate. Then it was just 6 years ago that he got 10% of the vote.
Right. But this speaks to what the voters are valuing.
Oh,
and that's why the WAR and the OPS matters.
I see. So they've, well, either way, when he first was eligible, 20%, 1 in 5. 1 in 5, or 2 out of 10, said that he was a Hall of Famer. Now 8 out of 10 say he's a Hall of Famer. That to me makes no sense. And it's just, I don't know how I take that voting seriously.
Again, especially the obvious point is the body of work did not change.
Okay, so there's that. And then there's just the Jeter thing. There's the Jeter thing. I think there's a lot of people out there in Boston who are happy that Jeter did not get a unanimous selection because they think he's overrated, that he's an overrated player.
Or they're petty. I mean, one or the other, or both. I mean, so to me, you could make the argument he's the greatest shortstop ever inducted into the Hall of Fame. I don't know how many other guys really were even in the conversation. Ernie Banks, you know, where do you go from there? Or how far back in history do you want to go? So to me, no other shortstop has come on there. He's a slam dunk. I mean, you don't even bat an eye over it. And I just hate the fact that, you know, again, you can make your ballot anonymous and you don't have to own up for the fact of what you vote. A media institution. I don't get that. Really, I don't. Like, our whole thing is transparency. That's what the media is built on. We want to know what's going on. Tell us, be transparent. Except when we vote, then we're not telling you. It's just, it's asinine. But more evidence that baseball doesn't get it and won't. And it's on a, you know, it has a death wish. It's on an absolute suicide watch, if you ask me. But anyway.
Okay, so there's the baseball reset. We've got the Jimmy Garoppolo developing opinion on the table and Antonio Brown on the table. Can we close the book on that one, please? To your calls on all of it, Tom and Quincy on the Hall of Fame voting. Go ahead, Tom. Hi, Tom. Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, there's been two things about the fall of the Hall of Fame, which I called in yesterday about it. I called in a while ago, too, with this whole analytical crap about what they're basing their votes on shit. But listen, the main thing is the people that say that Jeter is overrated in Boston. Listen, I've been a Red Sox fan since I was 8. Okay. We know what the guy was capable of doing and he did it for 20 friggin' years. Okay. So let's not, because what's happened all day today, I've heard it all because the bar has never been set lower at this point, but I heard people calling in the radio today saying, Nomar blew Jeter out of the water. And I'm like, you know what? For 6 years, Nomar did. Then he fell off the map because he got juiced up and he hurt himself, and that was it. Jeter played solidly for 20 years, 5 championships. Nomar got none. I mean, enough with that. But people.
No, I'm sorry, Tom. Yes, enough's enough. If you watch them, and you were a Red Sox fan, and Derek Jeter was up in a big spot, it's the last guy you wanted to see up because you knew he was going to slap one to right field and drive that run in.
Scared the crap out of you.
The last guy you wanted to see up. The Yankees, when Nomar came up, throw a few in the dirt. He's going to swing at everything. You get him out in 3 pitches because he never took anything. He just swung from his ass. Sometimes he connected, but throw him the slider outside. He'll swing at it, and he'll miss. I bet the Yankees didn't fear Nomar hardly.
Well, at the end, Nomar was like that. Don't you look?
Well, no, I mean, he always swung out of his ass.
Yeah, but he hit it. I mean, so, like, you know, when Nomar was healthy, he was productive. to me, the issue with Nomar and Jeter is not that Nomar sucked. He just didn't last. Like, Nomar, you know, hit 370 and whatever, 357, and, you know, and in the playoffs, he was a monster in that 1 year or 2 years. But the fact is, he didn't last. He broke down. I mean, the numbers were, when he was healthy, were there.
I think.
Now that we're so far away from
it, I just think
that,
you pitched to the guy.
That debate is laughable.
I mean, it's laughable.
He didn't last.
Okay, but he also, I mean, when he went to Chicago, I mean, I think.
Oh, he was cooked. I think,
yeah, he was done by then, though.
Yeah, I also think it was beyond. I think it was beyond him breaking down. I thought it was easy to pitch to. He didn't take pitches. He wasn't selective. He just hacked.
Yeah, he hit bad balls, though. So, again, I mean, he hit 321 in the playoffs. The OPS was 975.
No, he had great numbers. He had great numbers. I remember the Sports Illustrated cover. Excuse me. He had good numbers.
Yeah, listen, again, that's a separate issue. I'm just telling you, I don't think he's as easy to pitch to as you think he was.
Well, this is why I was called Mr. Baseball one time long, long ago.
And that was relating to Ichiro.
No, it was Nomar. That if he took more pitches, he'd be a better player. Oh, Mr. Baseball. Then the entire world started taking pitches. Guess who was right about that one ultimately? Old Mr. Baseball here, Guy Felger.
You knew they were stealing signs then. Good job.
No, but the thing on Jeter, if you watched him play, he's the last guy you wanted to see up. And defensively, he wasn't great. But in a big game, a ball hit to Jeter. If you're a Yankee fan, were you holding your breath? Is he going to make the play? Or you knew it was a lock when it mattered. You knew it. And oh, by the way, if I were a Hall of Fame voter, I'd also vote for Schilling for the same way, for the same reason. I put weight on postseason. These big games, Super Bowls, World Series, they're the final exam. You've heard me talk about it a lot. If I were an opponent in a big game or a playoff game and Schilling was on the mound, I'd be crapping my pants, and I'd give that extra weight. And that's why he is a Hall of Famer to me, and that's why Jeter is a Hall of Famer. It's because that's the last guy you wanted to see up in a big spot. Junior in Brockton on Antonio Brown. Go ahead, Junior.
Yeah, I was an AB supporter, and basically seeing that video last week in front of his son, man, that was bad. You know? And I got to give it to you guys. You guys were right. Felga, Maserati, Twitter figure Jimmy, you guys were right. And I know why Antonio Brown has a problem.
Why?
It's because he has a whole lot of money.
No, he's just an impulsive a-hole. And maybe that means he also has some mental issues. I don't doubt that. But not all mental issues are the same. See, because everything is about him, and he refuses to look inward and accept any responsibility. He's the worst.
It's a side topic to me. I mean, no, I mean, it's like I'm not arguing. Maybe his mental illness, maybe he doesn't. You chose to hitch your wagon to him and guarantee massive amounts of money.
Stunning.
And put a big part of your plan on his shoulders when he can't even get up in the morning and function as a human being.
I mean, stunning, really. Again, it was so apparent at that time the guy was in an accident waiting to happen.
And they didn't factor in the Brady thing. The repercussions for Brady if it went wrong, which it was going to go wrong. You were stubborn to think otherwise. But okay, you shut Tom up and you make him happy and you bring him in. What's he going to think when it goes wrong and he has to go? And we saw what ended up happening.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on all of it right after this.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the same time, Brady was talking about playing into his 40s again, and I think that the question in the building was, you know, is Tom going to do it here in New England? Has he earned that right? Or is he going to do it somewhere else? And he was threatened by Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, when Jimmy Garoppolo injured his shoulder a year ago, he told people in the Patriots building that he went to TB12 to get treatment, and they wouldn't see him. And he knocked on the door, and it was locked, and he called trainers, and nobody picked up, and he ended up going with the team trainers and only ended up going to TB12 2 weeks later after one of the Patriots officials called and essentially told them, like, what's going on? Why aren't you treating this guy. And so I think that Tom wanted Jimmy gone so he could have the peace of mind that this was his team. He was going to be the present in the future for a while. And all of that culminated with Robert Kraft essentially tipping the scales and making a football decision. And the next, you know, within a couple weeks, Garoppolo was traded to San Francisco. I mean, Bill Belichick texted Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers head coach, and said, will you, you know, give me a call when you wake up. And then when they talked, he said, will you take Jimmy for a second? And that's essentially how the trade went down.
Well, we've officially begun the Garoppolo conversation in advance of Super Bowl 54. How could we not? Big storyline for us here in Boston. You move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. 2 years later, he's in the Super Bowl. So we revisit that decision, and what I'm really focusing on today was how it was handled by the Patriots. And was that a well-thought-out, meticulous, functional decision? Or was it, did it have the whiff of dysfunction? That was Seth Wickersham discussing a story that he wrote 2 years ago. And to me, it felt like a dysfunctional decision that was made a little bit by the seat of their pants and done with emotion and selfishness versus what was in the best interest of the team. And you know that because Belichick wants to keep Garoppolo. He wants him to be the next guy. Kraft intercedes. And the next thing you know, Bill wakes up one day and just says to Kyle Shanahan, you want him for a second? When if you had shopped him, you could have gotten a first from Cleveland, maybe other teams. You could have upped that offer. You could have done it at a different time. You could have done it at the previous year's draft versus the last 2 weeks before the trade deadline in 2017. How do you feel about the way it was handled 2+ years later? So that's what we're discussing. Not whether you should have kept him or not, whether he's any good or not. Those are all side topics to how was it executed? How was the execution of that decision with Jimmy Garoppolo? And how did they handle that? I think it's they handled it poorly. And what the subsequent and related feeling is what has changed. Because I'm still sitting here telling you, I'm not sure who's going to make this call. I still think it's possible that Bill wants to do one thing and Robert's going to overrule him. I still think it's possible that it's going to come down to the last minute and they're not going to have a thought-out decision. It's going to be a little bit by the seat of their pants that they don't have all their ducks in a row. They are not maneuvering the pieces around the chessboard like we expect them to. They didn't do it with Garoppolo, and has anything really changed? I'm curious about that. Because Kraft will talk. We want him. We hope and pray he comes back. He tells TMZ yesterday, shouting across the street in New York, that's the plan to keep him. Is that Belichick's plan? Do we know this? Are they on the same page? Have they gotten on the same page on this decision? And so that's what we're discussing. That's the fallout. That's the topic of the day as it relates to Garoppolo. There is sort of a Garoppolo development today. So your return, it was a second round pick that they, as Volin wrote, traded into oblivion. 14 different trades on 14 different players, so you can't really track exactly what they got for him, which I think is partly intentional. But one of the pieces is Jared Stidham. One of the pieces was second round pick Juwan Williams. We have news on Juwan Williams from today.
Sure do. That would be Juwan Williams in Cumberland County, Tennessee, arrested on January 17th after he was allegedly in possession of drugs. Tennessee Highway Patrol said that Juwan Williams stopped on Interstate 40 in Cumberland County for speeding. That's when troopers found an unnamed controlled substance, prescription drugs, and drug paraphernalia. So that is the 45th overall pick of your New England Patriots in 2019, Juwan Williams.
So the three pieces that, and again, there's like five or six different tentacles of that trade, but...
Yeah, what did you say? Traded into oblivion?
Traded, well, that's what I think that was Volin's line.
Yeah, it's like that scene in The Godfather, this, maybe it was part two, where he disassembles the gun and throws one piece down the chimney.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's what Belichick did. He took the murder weapon and broke it into a million pieces.
It's a great analogy. But a couple of those pieces, one is Juwan Williams, didn't play and now just got arrested for drugs. The other was Damian Williams, the running back, who for some... God,
I think he played six snaps this year.
You could not find the field. And Stidham, who I like, maybe they're onto something with him. But anyway, so there's sort of a Jimmy Garoppolo update. Back to your phones on everything. As promised, Tony is in Shirley. He joins us next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Michael, listen to me. I'm going to go quick. Listen, Brady, it's not the money. He'd play for $1,000 a year. This is the situation. He wants to brand his name. We all know that 1 or 2 years, whatever he's got left. He sees the declining average offense. Defense next year, we don't know what they're going to be because they have to try to mend that, keep guys. They're not going to be able to do it. He wants to end his career, hopefully get the NFC or AFC championship, and, you know, go to a Super Bowl. I believe it. Honest to God, I believe he doesn't see it in this team in the next 2 years.
Okay.
And I don't either.
All right, Tony.
I don't either, buddy.
Thank you for the call. I respectfully disagree with you. Is winning a ring his number one overall priority?
No.
It's probably up there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you asked number one.
Right, and I don't think it is either. He wants a chance. He'll go somewhere where there's a chance to win. He's not going to go to a team that he thinks is going to be 2-14. Fine. But if the number one overall priority is to win, he stays here with Belichick, the greatest combination in the history of the sport.
I mean, people do realize, right, that Brady asked for the franchise tag to be removed from his contract before the season. Not after. Before. So if he became more convinced as the year went along that they weren't good enough, he really made the decision back in August, call it, that the Patriots weren't going to be good in 2020, and so he had to get out. Do people believe that?
I don't.
No way. I mean, no way. He didn't make that decision then.
Why? Is...
No. I'm just saying, if you want to say that he's been frustrated, look, this comes down to a very simple thing. He wanted a contract extension. He wanted the team to commit to him because he has said steadfastly that he wants to play till 45 and they wouldn't extend beyond a year. And that pissed him off. And I'm not blaming him for it.
And this ties into the Garoppolo thing. He was asking for that contract extension over 2 years ago. For over 2 years, he's been asking for the contract. And when Garoppolo was here, he's like, you're not giving me a contract and you're keeping this kid? And so you know what the Patriots' solution was? Instead of paying him, they said, all right, we'll get rid of the kid. And the next thing you know, he's in San Francisco for a second-round pick when you could have gotten a first. So that does all tie together. Meanwhile, why have Baseball Hall of Fame voting standards fallen so sharply? Easy answer, and Maz came up with it again. Millennials. Andrew and Attleboro, your thoughts on that?
Oh, the millennial trope is so old and tired. Millennials don't give millennials trophies. The boomer generation did. And if millennials were voting everybody in, why aren't Bonds and freaking Clemens? Like, Bonds, the greatest hitter anybody has ever seen. And I'll just let you talk about that, please.
Okay.
Well, so look, on Bonds and Clemens, the simple answer is that the older guys hold it against them because they cheated. Larry Walker's not known to have cheated. So he got some more support from the older voters than Bonds and Clemens did. There's your answer on that one. And it's not exclusively that the millennials give trophies to every kid who signs up for the soccer team. That's not what it is either. That's part of it.
That's how millennials have grown up.
Yeah.
So, yes, we spoiled you. It's our fault. Fine. Fair enough. But be that as it may, that's your worldview.
Yes.
Everyone gets a trophy.
And the other part of it is that, again, with all the metrics now, all they do is punch in the numbers. None of them actually watch the player play. And make that judgment based on, well, look, yeah, Jeter was overrated. You know, he didn't have a great range factor. Or he didn't walk a lot. True. Did you watch him play? Like, again, if the next Derek Jeter is out there, I feel badly for him. I do.
Because why?
Because you know what? They're going to teach him launch angle, and they're going to move him to third base. And he will never be able to play the way this guy did because they've effed up the game. That's why.
Anthony and Medford on Jeter. Go ahead, Anthony. Anthony! Okay, babe, call us back. You obviously know the number. Chris in the car. I'm sorry, Dante in Linfield. Go ahead, Dante.
Hey, you guys got it backwards. The problem isn't with the writers. I mean, nothing, Maz. You guys could screw up a black coffee. The problem is the BWAA gives them the chance. The way you fix it is you up the threshold. Your first year on the ballot, if you don't get 50% of the votes, if you can't get 50% of the guys to vote for you, you're gone.
Agreed.
Like, the more you could stay on the ballot, that's how you prolong it, and that's how you get Larry Walker.
Oh, I agree 100%, Dante. 3 years at the most, 50% or you're off, and to ultimately be elected to the Hall, 90% threshold.
Or limit the number of guys you can vote for. Do that, too. You can vote for 10. I'm going to waste a vote on Larry Walker when I got, you know, Manny Ramirez and Derek Jeter and Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds on the ballot. I'm going to waste a vote on Larry Walker. No shot. Fewer guys. 5 tops.
Someone also tweeted a good idea that you should have 2 seconds to vote. So you don't have time to think about it and think about war and, well, no, you know with your gut. You see the name, you give it that check.
Shot clock.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, that's what I believe. I know right away who I'm voting for. I don't even look up stats anymore.
Meanwhile, breaking news in the NFL, you'll hear it here in the update. Unfortunately, the next great Patriots quarterback is No Mas.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it. We'll open it up with, we'll start with Mike Reese.
Let me start first here.
Okay.
Thanks. We've completed the trade papers with San Francisco, and so just made a couple comments on this situation. First of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. And the 49ers are getting a good player, and they're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate, and they're getting a good quarterback. And Jimmy's getting a good coach.
And again, we just play the first 30 seconds. Bill goes on for 3.5 minutes.
Like a parent making sure the kid goes in a good foster home.
And waxes poetic. And again, it's sort of like his Jets press conference when he was a man in personal turmoil. And you could just tell right then and there. You could tell there what that player meant to him and how he did not want to make that move. And he made it. And so, that we will be reliving that as we head into Super Bowl 54 and Jimmy Garoppolo starting for the San Francisco 49ers. Continue your thoughts on that, Hall of Fame voting, etc., all of it. Here's Mike in the truck on Jimmy Garoppolo. Hi, Mike.
So we all know that they didn't get enough for Garoppolo, and we also know that Bill wanted to set him up in a good spot. Is there any reason to think that he couldn't have at least met it halfway to say to San Francisco, look, I got Cleveland's number 12 pick
exactly.
in my back pocket,
exactly.
but I want to send him to you because I want to set him up in a place I know he can succeed. Can you give me a first-round pick? Because I'm already being offered a first-round pick.
Excellent point, Mike. He could still set up Garoppolo, still get him to the right spot, but at least play the field, play the market. He never marketed the pick.
No, not at all. And I'll tell you what, we had a guy yesterday who said, well, Trent Brown was part of that deal too. And I don't remember what they gave up for Trent Brown to you.
The 95th pick.
Yeah. It
was, third rounder?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say it was, Garoppolo for a second. And
again, the Brown trade was separate, but.
Right. That they get a better deal
on. The Niners sold low on him.
The supposition was a quid pro quo.
So
San Fran hooked you up.
So let's factor that in then. Garoppolo and a third. For Trent Brown in a second, 1 year of Trent Brown, was it worth it?
No.
Not even close.
Well, you got a Super Bowl out of it.
Not even close.
No, but I'd rather have Cleveland's 12th pick. I'm talking about value chart of the trade.
Yeah, but, just evaluate the trade in a vacuum.
Yeah, no, it wasn't enough.
No, they didn't get enough. Now, if they had Trent Brown for 4 years, 3 years, maybe you could argue it. 1 year? No way. No, not even close. Again, add Trent Brown in, they still lose.
Mike's calling us from the 99. Hi, Mike.
Hey, two-part take on the Hall of Fame here. The first part, earlier, you guys nailed it on the head. The way to clean this whole thing up is to give the process a freaking enema. All right, you got to cut the number of years of eligibility in half. You got to cut the number of votes in half. And then, in my opinion, you should make the minimum percentage be half of what you get in, so call it 35%. Second part of the take, Jade Stu, you're still a take plagiarist. And to quote Good Will Hunting, at least they'll still be original. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. No one has any idea what you guys are talking about. So just carry that out on your own little personal tweet beef or whatever. Please.
I blocked him.
Let's just do with the Hall of Fame voting what we do with everything else in the game now. Just make it a computer program, punch it in. Get rid of the voters. I'm out. I'm out anyway. Either way, I'm out. Told you, I'm out. Just punch it into a computer. The managers do that in the dugout anyway. What do I need Alex Cora for? Just put some mannequin or some jackass standing at the corner of the dugout. Give him a laptop and tell him to punch in the numbers and give him the printout. I'm not joking. What do I need somebody with a brain for?
Ryan in Connecticut on Antonio Brown. Yes, Ryan.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. Murray, couldn't agree with you more, man. This guy, he's just a plain scumbag human being. I mean, are they going to blame CTE for him stiffing the chef or the doctor that he farted in his face? I mean, right. What's that got to do with, you know, the hit he took from Dontez Perfect? I mean, thankfully he didn't seriously injure the kid down in the 2-year-old down in Florida. So I'm listening to Max Kellerman and Carl Banks, you know, plead that, you know, the guy gets help. I mean, it just, I can't listen to it anymore. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Like, you can't, I've had, this is the world we live in. Everything's all sensitive now. It's like, everyone wants to make excuses for bad behavior. Like, oh, he needs help. Yeah, he needs help. But I don't know. Part of me feels like he needs to be locked up, too. And this is, some of this behavior, it feels like it's the after effect of probably using hard drugs. Like, I don't know. Does he seem like a guy that's making the right and rat and sane decisions in his life right now? No.
I forgot about the thing with the doctor. He farts.
Throwing furniture off the balcony, almost hitting the kid. That's his own kid. You know, like,
I'll tell you what. Now that all this is going on,
no, but it's CTE though, and you know, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I kind of like the fact that the NFL and the world is now farting in his face. I kind of like that.
Chris in the car, can you explain the Larry Walker situation?
Hey, Mike. Earlier you said that in 2014, Walker got 58 raw votes, which equates to 10%.
That's right.
If there's 379 voters this year, what happened to the 200 other voters in the last 6 years?
They changed their mind. Some have swapped in and out, but for the most part, it's the same voting body.
No, he means that the body of voters has shrunk, and he's right.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
That it's gone from like 600 to 400. And so, Chris, the answer is this. First of all, some of them died off. Okay, that's one. And number two is, they changed the standards a few years back where if you are inactive for a period of time, you no longer keep the vote. So those people are all out. So it is a smaller voting body.
So what's the point there?
Right. So the smaller voting body means less raw votes equals you need less raw votes to hit that threshold.
Okay, I understand. So I think, he still went from 53 to 307.
Correct.
So I don't care if the 53 or 58.
58.
58 to 307.
Right, and multiplied by, you know, more than five times.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, so again, take whatever you want, whatever number you want. If it went to 250 voters, that's a lot.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, it is. So
a lot of those are the same people. Some, as Maz said, have come off the rolls and some have come on, so that accounts for some of that gap, but a lot of them are the same people who 6 years ago didn't vote for him, today did.
Yeah, and I can tell you that I know what happens is that the numbers start to go up, and then the people who don't vote that were sort of on the fence say, well, geez, maybe I'm wrong. Everybody thinks that he belongs, so I'll just add him this year. And I know because I've done it. I did it with Goose Gossage. I never voted for Gossage, and then at the end I did, and I regret it.
Do you feel guilty now?
Yep, I regret it. I regret it. And it's the only time I've ever done it, and I won't do it again.
What did McAdam take you out back and beat you with a moist sausage until you acquiesced?
No.
Did he and Buck, you know, rough you over? Like was there like some sort of BBWAA ceremony where
I don't even remember what year it was, but again, I was earlier in the process, and so it was newer to me, and I was more willing to bend, so I bent.
No, Naughty Maz always likes grabbing the occasional ass. Goose Gossage. I'm going to give him a vote.
I mean, now, if you're asking me, the majority probably would have voted for him anyway. He'd have gotten in. But right then, I said, that's it. Never again. I'm not doing that again. So now I just pick my guys, and that's it. Done.
I mean, it's just the climbing in the vote is, to me, just staggering. It's one thing if you go from, you know, 68% to 75% because a handful of people change their mind based on something like...
And the voting body changes.
Like, or the voting body, better. Okay, fine. To go from 10% to just under 77?
Preposterous.
I mean, that's bananas.
So the one that gets me even more, like I heard someone say last night, maybe one of the ways to justify the missing Jeter vote, the one guy who didn't vote for Jeter, is that there was somebody who wanted to vote for 11 players and said, well, Jeter's going to get in no matter what. so I'll leave him off and vote for the other 10.
Well, fine. Just show yourself.
No, no. Even so, is that right?
Of course not.
You're supposed to vote for the 10 best candidates. So now we're gonna try to keep everybody happy again and give everyone a trophy. Well, no, 11 guys can get trophies if I keep Jeter off. So I can give out another trophy. Yay.
Mike and Wilburn on the Hall of Fame. Hi, Michael.
Hey, just quickly, I can encapsulate the Kraft Belichick Garoppolo trade in 10 seconds for you. Kraft decided to protect his legacy by keeping Brady here. So at that point, Bill has no reason to do anything less for himself and decided to enhance his legacy by putting Garoppolo in a place where he could excel and make Bill look better. It's quid pro quo, in my opinion. They're both doing the same thing. So I don't see why
something
it's negligent
like that
on Bill's part.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It was not best for the team.
No, on neither one of them were acting in the team's best interest. They were both making selfish decisions in order to enhance their legacies, in their opinions. Can I ask Maz a question about the BBWAA?
Yeah, and, go ahead, Mike. You can ask anything. And you can blast me for it, too. I don't care.
I'm not blasting you.
No, it's fine. I'm just telling you it's okay to.
No, Matt, because you come out and say who you vote for. Why is there a fear among the writers for accountability here? They demand accountability from players. They demand accountability from people they cover. If someone waltzes out of the locker room after they lose in the playoffs and doesn't answer questions, they all have a hissy fit.
Yep.
Why can't they be accountable on deciding an athlete's legacy when there is literally no recourse? Like, they have nothing to fear from the athlete at this point.
Correct.
The athlete can't give them any less quotes. He's out of the game. What is the thing that the writers fear?
Do you get to vote on whether it's transparent, whether it's released or not?
I don't remember. They may have done that initially. I don't remember, but I think what they said is we're going to give everybody the option now because so many people were disclosing their ballots anyway. They said we're going to actually organize this and do it formally and, you know, and post them all up if you're willing to participate. And so I think most guys have said yes, or most people.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't, you know, but I couldn't, you know, I said this at the beginning of the show. Like, you know, the last night listening to the announcement, they were saying, well, let's not get the pitchforks and torches out to find the one guy who didn't vote for Jeter. Why not? Why not? What, because he's a member of the media? Or, you know, what, because it takes away from Jeter? No, it doesn't. Jeter's going to get his due. Jeter's gotten his due for 20 years. It doesn't take anything away from Jeter. Jeter's going to be celebrated like he always is. I want to know who it was. I don't see why that should be protected information. I'm with Mike. Mike and Woburn, I'm 100% with them. Disclose all the ballots. If the National Hall of Fame is going to be this public institution and museum, well, then everything should be transparent.
Programming note, Felger Maz off-air show returns tonight, presented by Ace Ticket, myself, and Big Jim Murray. Big Jim Murray got That's you covered right. On Facebook Live at 6 o'clock. You got anything in your craw, Murray, that you want to get to?
I'll think of something between
Eli Manning, Murray.
Oh, yeah, we can blah Mike about Eli Manning.
I don't know what's to be blah about. You would have won games with that guy. It's too bad he's retiring. It's unfortunate. We hit on that. Go off the grid. That's what we do on the off-air show. Again, Facebook Live, 6 p.m. sharp, presented by Ace Ticket. That's at 6. Coming up next is the final word.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking at the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
No one.
I'm sorry. I have to bring it to the table just a little bit because that's the stuff that I wish would be on air a little bit more. Maz was just having a complete conniption about the formatics of websites, certain websites, and how he wants websites to look.
I've been having a conniption about everything lately.
Yeah. He's been running hot. I think all the baseball stuff has made you crazy.
Good. Keep it up.
Another thing that made you crazy, Maz.
Good show content.
You got real squeaky about the New England Patriots trading your third son, Jimmy Garoppolo.
The one that irritates me more than anything, and I go back to this idea that he wanted to keep him as a backup. Can we now put that stupid-ass nonsense to rest? He didn't want to keep him as a backup. He wanted to keep him as the next guy. He told you that today. He did not want to trade Garoppolo.
Unless he's lying.
He's not lying.
Dakota thinks he was lying.
He's not lying. Because the words, you can always say the words are manipulated.
Come on, baby.
He wanted to keep him as a backup. He didn't want to keep him as the next guy.
Come on, baby.
He wanted to trade Garoppolo. He's lying. Can we now put that stupid-ass nonsense to rest? We can give you 100 examples of that. 100 freaking examples. This thing was consistent. He did not want to trade Garoppolo. He wanted to trade Garoppolo. He's not lying. He's lying.
You're going to try to get that helmet and jersey through airport security, right?
Have we discussed this now? Are you going to check that, or are you going to bring it on the plane?
I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet, but the one thing I can guarantee you is that it is coming with me to Miami.
Oh, no.
I will find a way to get it there if I have to FedEx the freaking thing and pick it up at the hotel.
Ship it with our engineering equipment.
Bingo.
No, there you go.
I don't trust them.
You know, I kind of don't blame you. Just bring it with you. It's not a weapon.
I want you to walk on the plane with it. Don't even put it in a bag. Just have it as a carry-on. Have it in your hand.
I mean, it won't count.
Do you think TSA would let you in with that?
It won't count as a carry-on if I'm wearing it, will it?
I don't think so, no. Headgear.
I think I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it onto the plane.
We'll film that.
Serious question for people who might know. Will TSA let a full NFL regulation helmet onto a plane?
Yeah, it's a replica helmet, too. It's not one you could wear in a game. So, I think if you slammed it, it'd get something that would crack.
Well, I was going to say, can you use it as a weapon? Miles Garrett would say yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just curious. Would they allow a helmet onto an airplane?
But what if you're wearing it? What if I convince them that I have, like, some sort of... you know, cranial abnormality.
Which you do. That's what would be easy to prove. Jones, what do you got coming up?
What if something erotic has been done to that helmet? Then I don't know. I don't know if they're going to allow that through TSA. We're going to start with, a couple of things here tonight. We'll get to Robert Kraft, his latest. Didn't seem fully on board with bringing Brady back. He kind of went through the motions there. He said the right thing. Didn't sound all that committed. And
Wait a minute. You're going to break down the tone of him shouting at TMZ getting into the limo?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. Yep. We're going to do the show, Mike. Yeah. Well, we're going to do that right out of the chute. And I also have a question for Celtics fans. You like your little duo there. Jaylen Brown, he's not playing tonight. Jason Tatum. You may want to look at the duo on the other side tonight. Memphis, pretty good little duo they got there. So we'll break that down as well.
Okay. Bend over, Boston. Here comes Jones. We're back at tomorrow at 2. We'll talk to you then, Anthony.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.